Chapter 26. Hope. Having canceled his classes for the rest of the day, the professor messaged Evan with an urgent request to join him in the cryonics lab. Then he rushed Rosa from the train down into the laboratory. As fast as he could, he hooked her up to the miniature life support machine and checked her carefully. She was dead. But there was no time to mourn. He had to act quickly if he wanted to preserve her body and brain for any future hope of life. Certain of her condition, he took her into the cryonics lab and began administering medications and antifreeze to cool her body as quickly as possible. Cryonics research had not yet discovered an effective way to restore a human back to life, but keeping Rosa frozen until an effective way was found was the only hope he had. Evan came rushing into the lighted lab and began helping. They had performed this procedure before on a few miniaturized animals that had died, in preparation for such an emergency. In silence, they focused on the necessary important steps until the tiny body was fully prepared. Finally, the professor placed Rosa inside the special sleeping bag, donned protective gloves, and lowered her into the vat of liquid nitrogen. Sadly, he turned to Evan and they embraced. With their arms around each other, they mourned the loss of their first mature tiny in a world where suffering was to be completely minimized. "A death in paradise?" Jack questioned, as tears rolled down his cheeks. "Killed when they were just having fun? Oh, why did I put that bump on the hill?" "What happened, Jax?" Evan begged, knowing nothing of the circumstances and having restrained himself from asking until now. The professor told him the whole tragic story. Evan was very distraught as tears ran down his face. "Poor little Rosa," he cried. "She's so young to lose her life in a freak accident. How could this happen?" He grimaced. "And the tinies witnessed all this?" "Sa'alors, they saw it all," Jax lamented, shaking his head. "Who knows how they'll deal with this trauma? How do we tell them that Rosa is dead? Even Louis is hopeful that I can fix her up and send her back in." Many things were going through Evan's mind. The questions that Jax was asking were deep and difficult. He wasn't sure how to answer, but there was one thing he thought they should do. "I think we should ban go-karting on the hill," he said. "Thought of that," Jax Lemans replied dismally. "But if we discontinue go-karting, we'll have to stop them from swimming in the lake. They are both equally dangerous." "That would take away a lot of their fun."
It would,
he sighed heavily. "But I do agree that losing one life is a tragedy." Regretfully, Evan said, "We should have made the fun hill smaller." "Perhaps," the professor fretted, "or I shouldn't have added the bump. We simply wanted everyone to enjoy our world and develop their skills. But adding exciting adventures increases the risk of danger and sadness." "The greater the excitement, the greater the potential for disaster," Evan agreed. Professor's phone rang. Louis was making a video call. Picking it up, the sad look on Louis's face was terribly distressing to both scientists. "Is there any hope for Rosa?" was his first question. Agonized, the professor replied, "Unfortunately, she is dead." Louis's face fell and he breathed heavily. "Can't believe this has happened," he confessed. "We are all in a lot of shock. This is the first time we have seen one of us die, and we're all trying to understand what it means." "It is a terrible tragedy," the professor agreed, as tears welled up in his eyes once again. "We are in shock as well." "Can you remake Rosa?" Louis begged. "One of the boys mentioned that if you gave Rosa life the first time, surely you can give her life again." Evan looked over at the professor curiously. He felt this was the time to admit that they couldn't give life. They could only rework a life that was already in existence. Rubbing his face with his hands, the professor hesitated. "I've done everything I can," he assured Louis. "There is hope that with some more experimentation and research, we may eventually find a way to restore life to the cells. But it won't be soon. It's not simple. But there is hope. You can tell the children there is hope that Rosa will come back to life one day." Evan wasn't so sure that cryonics was a substantial hope, but he didn't voice his skepticism with Louis still on the phone. The professor talked to Louis about how to counsel the tinies through this tragedy. The three of them grieved together. Jax admonished Louis that it was important to not suppress his sadness or that of the children. Keeping it bottled up inside will only lead to more hurt later, he said. They've got to talk it through whenever they feel like talking. When the professor had finished his conversation and put down his phone, Evan murmured, I'll be more convinced of the merits of cryonics when they actually bring someone back to life. I know, the professor agreed thoughtfully, but it's all we can offer for now, and it may prove viable at some point in the future. What we are discovering in science today would have seemed preposterous 100 years ago or less. Perhaps you and I will discover the way to bring life back to the cells, he said, looking up with a smile. In the meantime, he reasoned, a false hope is better than no hope at all. It will help them all feel better. Evan had picked up on the words, bring life back. He frowned. But we didn't give life in the first place, he pointed out warily. That is beyond the ability of any scientist. True, the professor agreed. But I do believe that science will discover a way. It's just a matter of time. After his conversation in the library with Seth and the online debate that he had just watched, Evan was no longer sure what he believed. If Seth and the physicist were right, and there really was hard evidence to believe in a supernatural, all-powerful God, then life was a gift that only God could give. He shuddered at the thought of humans finding a way to generate life. It sounded like the plot for a scary sci-fi movie. Would it be wise, he pondered privately, for such incredible power to be in the hands of those who might use it for good, but may well use it for evil? Excusing himself from the lab to check on the tinies, Evan walked past the incubators below, with tiny new puppies and kittens developing inside. He was thankful they had decided not to create any more human beings. I must discourage Jax from developing any more humans, Evan told himself anxiously. This has been a fabulous experiment, but if there is even a remote chance that there is a great designer, what does he think of us modifying his creation and offering hope that we can't give? Agitated and distressed, Evan rode the elevator up to the paradise room. Does Seth's God offer any hope for life after death? He pondered, walking into the dark greenhouse structure. And if he does, is there any evidence to believe it is possible? Or do Christians just hope for something because it's better than no hope at all? As he walked across the room, he was surprised to see the dome was glowing softly. Gazing inside, he noticed that the solar twinkle lights had been turned on. The Beach Boys were not in their hammocks. Sad, muffled voices came over the speakers, but the voices didn't seem to be coming from the houses. He could see Uncle Louie walking across the shadowy meadow. A loud wail caught his attention. It sounded like it came from the meadow. We can't sleep, Uncle Louie, Amy was crying. Is Rosa okay? Gazing across the field in the direction of her voice, Evan noticed that a large group of tinies were huddled together on Louis's cabin deck. He could only see shadowy figures, but it seemed that perhaps all of Paradise had decided that they couldn't sleep on their own. Uncle Louis reached the cabin and sat down beside them. A tall girl plunked herself in his lap and threw her arms around his neck. He could hear crying. There was movement on the deck as the others piled in close, and soon Louis was surrounded by all the distraught young teenagers. He could hear many of the girls sobbing. Lily was wailing. Uncle Louis seemed to be hugging them all. Other voices inquired about Rosa. Eventually, Uncle Louis replied, his voice trembling. Rosa isn't okay. She won't be coming back for a long time. Is she dead? Yes, he replied softly. There were many sorrowful cries, even from the boys. When they had quieted back down, Louis continued kindly. Professor hopes that with some more research, he will find a way to bring Rosa back to life, but it will take time. Gazing at the grief-stricken scene, Evan's heart bled compassion. Regardless of whether it's right or wrong, I'm in this so deep, I have to stay, he thought. These tinies are real people. I can't leave this project, especially not when things are going wrong. For a long while, Evan stood listening to Louis comforting the tinies. Gradually, the noises subsided, but no one left his cabin. When the professor finally joined Evan after cleaning up the lab, it was peaceful and quiet in paradise, with only the odd snore here and there. I think they've all fallen asleep on Louis's deck, Evan whispered. Professor peered into the dark shadows and smiled sadly. Louis is bearing the brunt of this once again, he admitted. I hope he gets some sleep tonight. I hope he can bear up, Evan agreed. What would we do without Louis? They both looked at each other and swallowed hard. There was no comforting answer to that question. We'd better go get some sleep too, the professor said sadly. There's not much left of the night.